Welcome to our business segment right here on Eagle FM on the Radar Midday News Bulletin. We will be covering a quite number of things. We are going to speak to Ricky Ahab, who is the owner of Peace Collections and is in the small scale mining industry. And we'll also be looking at the parliaments or members of parliaments getting a workshop from the FAO, amongst others. And before we continue with our news bulletins on the business segment, I will just take this caller. Hello.
Yes,
Judicia.
What is this? Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Okay. I just want to comment on the issue from some of your social commentators.
Mm-hmm.
So they were commenting about the SWAPO meetings and other issues related to SWAPO. And they are saying that for those people who have opted to retire, it is because they think they are irreplaceable,
mm-hmm.
which is not the case. There is nobody who says is indispensable or irreplaceable. Not those who have decided to go and rest. Is it because they have achieved? They have fought a good fight, and they have finished. With honesty, with dedication.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because they think they are irreplaceable or they are indispensable. They don't think that because they know it all. They know that they were working with the community. They were working as a team. It's not because they also want to give the rooms even for others, for the young ones.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be there forever? Is there anybody who is serving in an infinite place, something that does not have an end? So most of the social analysis who are they commenting here. They are saying no because they think they are irreplaceable, they are indispensable. No, that's not the case. If you have reached, even myself at my old age, before I reach, whether it's early retirement or retirement by legal, I can decide to go. But that does not mean I think because I'm the one who knows it all, I'm the one who is the best. That's not the case, my friend.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah, right.
Let them know about that one.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Now, Namibia imports tomatoes worth of 24.6 million from SA. Namibia imported tomatoes worth 24.6 million in July 2022 from South Africa, according to trade figures released on Tuesday. In the period under review, the country's trade deficit widened to 4.3 billion Namibian dollars. In other business news, Gondwana Collection Namibia has taken over management of the Okapuka game range located outside Windhoek on the road to Okahanja. The new joint venture is undertaking comprising equal stakeholder between Klein Okapuka CC and Gondwana Collection Namibia Pty Limited in terms of management only. A collaboration between Gondwana and Okapuka will mean starting a new chapter for both companies, where the authentic savanna bushland with a well-established game lodge on Windhoek's doorsteps will join Gondwana's long-established customer base and footprint in tourism market, the hospitality group has said. Kapuka Hospitality Management Pty Limited is now planning an extensive revamp of the lodge premises, a development expected to start in October 2022, which will only be the first step in giving this classic safari lodge a new lease on life. the first guests will be welcomed to the lodge in April next year, where they will experience a classic safari lodge. The addition of the Okapuka game range to Gondwana's portfolio comes after the company in January this year took over management of a Vineberg Hotel, renamed the Vineberg. Gondwana currently runs about 23 properties across Namibia. Now, in other news, now the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations will conduct a two-day training for members of parliament, and this will take place this week. We do have the communications officer from FAO Namibia, that is Philippe Stobias, on the line. Good afternoon. How are you?
Afternoon. How are you as well?
I am good. Can you just take us through this workshop? What can we expect, and what type of training will be put forth to these members of parliament?
Yes. So basically, this two-day training, which is slated for the 9th to the 10th of September in Swakopmund, will seek to train the members of Parliament, particularly from the Republic of Namibia's legislative power, which is the National Assembly, on the voluntary guidelines on the responsible governance of tenure of land, fisheries, and forests in the context of national security. In short, the VGGP. So the training will be facilitated by a land governance and tenure experts from the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations here in Namibia, as well as experts from our headquarters in Rome. And it will be hosted under the theme, which is responsible governance of land and natural resources for food security in Namibia. So basically, in brief, the training will try to provide an introduction to the VGGP with the aim to create awareness among lawmakers and government officials on key VGGP principles to be considered, especially when in terms of land, tenure governance laws, policies, and institutional frameworks. Whenever they are being developed or reviewed, this is in line with the implementation phase of the resolutions that we passed during the second National Land Conference, which was held sometime in late 2018.
Yes. Now, with this training that is set to take place this week, what inspired the birth of this workshop?
So, basically, this training came from as a request from the National Assembly. And if I'm correct, the request came from the Speaker of Parliament, Dr. Kasazizi. Basically, after the passing of the resolutions, I think there were around 40 something resolutions that were passed during the second National Land Conference in 2018. The speaker thought it best that our lawmakers need to be trained on issues related to land. And as we know, our lawmakers has, you know, a time frame of, let's say, I think five years, if I'm not, wrong. You know, the new ones come in, you know, and sometimes the old ones do remain, but, the new ones do come in, and they need to be sensitized on issues related to land. And the VGGP now, is one of the key, documents, that FAO uses to guide countries in terms of land administration, especially in the context of national food security. So this is what basically just inspired the training, and this is the purpose of the whole thing.
Okay. What is the hopes from FAO as well as the Parliament hopes on the outcome of this workshop?
Well, in terms of the outcomes is that we hope that the MPs will be fully sensitized on the importance of land or tenure in terms of in the context of national food security. Because in terms of land, fisheries and forests, these aspects play a really important role, a critical role, in allowing the country to be able to be, self-sustaining in terms of food security. So our hope is that once the training is over, that the MPs will work towards formulating whether it's policies or laws that really speak to addressing issues related to land, fisheries and forests, to enable, ordinary Namibians to benefit from the resources and to alleviate hunger and poverty in Namibia.
All right. Thank you so much, Tobias, for speaking to Eagle FM.
All right. Thank you.
Right. Now, Namibia and Botswana will next week hold an inaugural bi-national commission, BNC in Gaborone, Botswana, to be attended by President Hage Geingob. The BNC is a high-level bilateral platform that replaced the Joint Commission on Cooperation and the Joint Permanent Commission on Security and Defense between the two countries, according to the Ministry of International Relations. The bi-national commission is expected to review cooperations in a wide range of areas, including diplomatic, legal, economic, social and defense, as well as security, and exchange views on issues of mutual interest and concerns at the regional and multilateral fora. The two countries are expected to consider and sign new bilateral agreements and memorandum of understandings. Now, the Environment Investment Fund of Namibia, EIF, handed over reserve osmosis units installed at three community water points, namely Farm Frieda, Huelak Post and Santam Post, under a pilot project funded to the tune of $1 million. The internally funded project aims to soften water at three community water points and make it possible for human consumption and irrigation purposes. These technological advances facilities will continue massively to improve community livelihoods of the communities at the three communal farms. The Environmental Investment Fund of Namibia's role is a national entity is responsible for mobilizing funds and investing them into community projects like the one should remain permanent to address the dear needs of the community in rural areas. It is a mandate with implementing community projects to improve the lives of our people in the communal areas, it said. Now, the simple and fast-forward aim is to relieve communities of three communal farms from the plight of hard water. This small initiative contributes to a broader goal for achieving universal and equitable access to safe and affordable drinking water for all, EIF Chief Operations Officer said. Now, Governor of Erongo Region said that the three mini desalination plants are a result of concerted effort in addressing climate change at the local level. These facilities are expected to impact many beneficiaries, including small-scale farmers in the area, and in the process, they will improve sanitation, hygiene, serve as a platform for rural economic emancipation to many households in the Duras constituency. For the reason outlined, they will also agree to these facilities to contribute to poverty eradication in the constituencies through increasing the resilience of vulnerable rural communities to the impacts of climate change. Now, the Director of Rural Water Supply, Sanitation and Coordination in the Ministry of Agriculture said that he was confident that the investment made by the Environment Investment Fund of Namibia will contribute massively to improve community livelihoods of the communities of these three farms. Now, the EIF is mandated to raise funding for investments into projects and programs that promote sustainable development and has to date attracted and mobilized more than 1.7 billion Namibian dollars from multilateral and developmental funding institutions and partners. Now, in more of our business segment, inspired by his grandmother's homemaking accessories, Peace Collection pioneer Ricky has now taken this into business while operating a small-scale mine and producing jewelry. The collection is also known as the Handmade Namibia. We speak to Ricky on this.
So the start of the Peace Collection was actually inspired by my grandfather. He's a small-scale miner. So growing up on the farm, we were always digging for small stones. We were always making our own drap karikis. And because we were not in town, we would make our own things with the skin of the goats, for example, you know, and we would make a soccer ball, for example, because we couldn't afford to buy our own soccer balls or our own wallets or, you know. So it started off with those things. And my grandmother was really hands-on sewing, knitting, and also doing beadwork. So as a small child, I grew up in front of them, seeing them take part in these activities that brought the whole family together. And then I would also see them try to sell their products on the side of the road. But what really got me to the point that I wanted to focus on these things is that most of our citizens are not rich, right? They are farmers, they are working in the informal sector. And I always thought that, you know, how do we move out from the informal into the formal sector? And it started, for me, it started with art being a form of advocacy for this. Yeah. And so, yeah, I used my creative skills, drawing. By profession, I'm actually a 3D animator, which I studied for. But this helped me to actually visualize each product that I'm trying to bring to the market. How is it that we have got such a diverse products that are supplied on the Namibian market, but these products are not packaged properly, for example. They don't have the barcodes, that they're not marketed in say, courier shops. And so that's why I got involved with this.
Right. Now, there's also a part where you do engraved on wood. This
yes,
is a
laser engraving.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But you see, the laser engraving is a part of design, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this equipment allows one to fabricate different products, not just on wood.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually produce bags just through designing it on the computer and having this technology cut it out, or the branding for your brand, or for the branding onto glass or onto various materials. But keeping in mind that this is just one tool that has a variety of uses that can elevate handmade products to the next level, that it looks professional and at the same time provide a good quality product.
Yes, and now you have worked on various products. We see the rings, necklaces and all that. Just looking at your whole journey, what would you say was one of the products that you loved working on?
Wow, actually, I love working on all of them, you know, but I would say that it started informally with necklaces, making wire necklaces. And it took me to the point where I went down to Kitman's Whoop. And I found myself a mentor. His name is Jacobus Meyer. May his soul rest in peace. He's no longer with us. But I would say that he elevated my jewelry making skills to the next level to be actually authentic. And making me realize that in between this, let's say, gap that we call art and then fine jewelry, there's a huge market here in Namibia that is not actually seen properly, and it's not regulated properly also. The small scale miners are mining up the gemstones, but the valuation and grading of this material are almost non-existent. The miners are mining it and they're selling it either to the jewelers or they are selling it to tourists next to the side of the road. But you come to find that when you compare these gemstones that the people are selling on the side of the road to what is being sold on the international market as fine jewelry, you find our own gemstones, after they have been process, selling at exorbitant prices or at market value prices that we just don't see here on our local market. And I would think that because of this, I actually chose to add in my input by trying to get the market to actually talk about this, actually get them to see that, you know, how is it that small-scale miners can walk into, say, for example, a diamond cutting company that is already doing grading, that is selling gemstones, like high-quality gemstones. If they can start to accredit these gemstones that are mined locally, because worldwide, it's not just diamonds on the market. There are the diamond companies selling colored gemstones. So how do we get these companies that are operating in Namibia, for example, in semi-precious stones or in diamonds, to start grading and assessing locally found gemstones so that they are accredited and that Namibians can start to reap the benefits of what they are finding in the rural areas.
Yes. Now, with the type of jewelry you make, where does the material come from? I understand you have a small scale mine.
It's actually me and my granddad. It's close to Okombai. Mm-hmm. Most of my own stones I source them myself. Some of them I can get from friends, some of them I trade. But for myself, the gemstones that I'm mine, they are limited services after you have found a gemstone. One being that, who will help you to cut these gemstones? Mm-hmm. How many people in Namibia do you know that actually cut gemstones? Are there institutions that cut gemstones? I'm sure that you will say that, you know, there's the Caribbean Gemstone Center that is training youth to cut gemstones, but you don't see them in the industry. You don't see them after they have gone through their training, being supported with equipment to continue doing what they are doing. They are getting employed by the diamond companies to cut those diamonds. So it's not filtering through, or their skills are not filtering through to the point where you can purchase Namibian cut gemstones locally, even in your malls.
Yes. Ricky, any final words to this industry before we let you go?
I would think that this industry has got quite a lot to offer. The formal sector, I would think that if they start to really open up platforms where the informal sector can come in to provide, should I say, their resources, because all of these are resources. And if they could assist with the grading and the accreditation of these gemstones, it would give viability to small scale miners to actually be able to ask for the actual value of what they are selling on the side of the road. So to the formal industry, I would say that, you know, it's not just about diamonds. Mm-hmm. As much as diamonds are very beautiful, they also just come in just a small range of colors, whereas the spectrum for colored gemstones is so big, and it's within the same field that all of these are going into jewelry. And we just have that huge diversity of raw minerals that make up a spectrum of, you know, what is found in the international market. But it's such a shame that it's not accredited and the valuation of these gemstones are not even done. Mm-hmm. So to those that are there, I would say, please think about the informal sector alongside the formal sector, because on a small scale, the mine is supposed to stay small. You know, the only way that we can influence and change the situation where the people can start earning a little bit more money and can start trading locally and internationally is for the formal sector, which already have this platform in place, to actually acknowledge and assist with the accreditation processes and the grading of this raw material. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Ricky, for speaking to us.
And that is what we are getting from Ricky, the pioneer of Peace Collection. And it is exactly 3 minutes to 2:30. You are listening to the business segment right here on the midday news bulletin that is on the radar. And we will be taking a short commercial break. We'll be returning and concluding our business segment for the day. Stay tuned.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Now, as petrol and diesel prices decrease by $1.20 and 0.65 cents per liter, bringing the current fuel prices to 21.08 and 22.12 per liter, respectively, this is effective as of 7 September 2022. Simone Storm's report states that the reduction was largely expected based on arguments made in Namibia's inflation report released in August 2022. MME has resolved to keep reductions on the road users charge and MVA levy as well as NAMCO levy in place. And until further notice, these levies reductions were introduced in April 2022, initially for a 3-month period only. At the same time, MME has increased the fuel wholesalers margin by 0.20% per 0.20 cents per liter from $1 to 1.28 cents per liter. Therefore, Simon Istom says they see risks to additional fuel price hikes in Namibia to be balanced and expected on local fuel prices to largely remain unchanged or decrease towards the end of the year. And this concludes our business segment for today. I'll now cross over to my colleague, or give over to my colleague, Franz, who will be taking you through the Oshiwambo News.